T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hawk and Crowder with Dono in for Hawk today. Crowder's here. Solana's here. It's my fault, guys, but I don't feel like we, mainly me, have given enough respect to the fact that it's Florida State week for Miami.
Yes.
Maybe it's not my fault because a couple 4-4 teams. Like, this is not like Miami versus Florida State like 1991. It's a little bit different this year.
But you got to play for pride in the state. You got to, you know what? Recruiting, though. It's big for recruiting.
Huge.
Yes.
Well, and our next guest is very qualified not only to talk about the game itself, but the recruiting aspects as well. Andrew Ivins, who's a Miami insider for 24/7 Sports, joins us now. You know, Andrew, how much buzz are you feeling for Miami, Florida State? Because I get it. We're not talking about two powerhouse teams. Like, we're talking about two teams fighting for bowl eligibility, but it's still a big game, right?
Yeah. I mean, it could be worse, right? I mean, both these teams could have lost last week, and then they'd be 3-5. So at least they're both 500 with that same record. I don't know. I mean, I feel like as we're getting closer and closer to Saturday, it's starting to pick up. You know, I saw some reports on social media that a lot of Florida State fans haven't claimed tickets. But I think as we get closer and closer, and it'll start to feel like Florida State, especially when they get on the field. I mean, remember last year the two teams got together, I think multiple times in pregame scuffle. So I think once it's Saturday, it'll feel like it should.
We got the announcement today from Manny Diaz that Jaren Williams will be the starter at quarterback on Saturday. Is that the right decision in your mind?
That's a long sigh. I mean, I think so. I think I told myself kind of after how the Pitt game played out that I'd be pretty surprised if it wasn't Jaren Williams. But at the same time, you can make a case for Nakosi Perry. I mean, Nakosi 6-3 as a starter. He beat Florida State last year. He beat Virginia this year. And really, those are two of Miami's real signature wins over the past two seasons. And so, I mean, I think you could go with him. But Jaren, this has kind of been Jaren's team since fall camp. So, I mean, I get it. I'm just interested to see what type of game plan they go with and if they put him in a position to succeed.
And, Andrew, would you be fine if they put Jaren out there and he's just not doing it and they throw Nakosi in? Because I believe, 8 games? I would say both of them played in 5 of them, 6 of them maybe. Like, are you okay with the hot hand type approach?
I mean, you know, what is the saying? If you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one quarterback. But
bingo.
I think if you're Miami, you kind of just – you're okay with it. We've seen these guys come off the bench. I mean, Nakosi Perry – came in for relief against Virginia Tech. I mean, he almost won them that game. I mean, he was in a 4-score hole, and he got that team back to a 1-point lead, and they ended up not winning. And then what we saw from Jaren this past week, I mean, it's not the ideal situation. I talked to people that were on staff last year, and they think it's just kind of ironic how not Manny's botched this quarterback situation or anything like that, but, I mean, he was the guy who was so against rotating quarterbacks and – you know, playing different guys. Here we are, 8 games into his tenure, and it's like, really, who knows what's going to happen? I think I wouldn't be surprised if both guys took a snap on Saturday.
We're joined by Andrew Ivins from 24/7 Sports. Now, Andrew, despite all the quarterback rotation, Tate Martell has never even been able to get himself in the conversation. Can you give us the scoop on just – and maybe it's because they made the decision to try him out at wide receiver earlier, but, I mean, how much has he struggled at quarterback that he can't even get himself in position to have a chance to play?
Well, we kind of saw it in the spring when he showed up. I mean, I don't know if you ever out at any of those practices, but he's not the most accurate passer. And I think Dan Enos, given what we've seen from his offense, they want a guy who can make the throws and stand in that pocket and kind of command the offense. And I just don't think Tate is that fit. So most people are going to be like, well, why did Miami bring him in anyways? I mean, go back to when T&M first took its first step. I mean, Manny said they were going to address the quarterback issue, and Tate was really the best option available. I kind of joked from the start, you know, I think Alex Hornibrook might have been a better fit for Miami, and he's going to be lining up for Florida State this weekend. But, I mean, that's a story for another day. I just think with Tate right now, from what I've heard and what I've gathered, he's just not the most focused individual. You know, he took that, a leave of absence for family reasons, didn't travel with the team to Pitt, practiced on Sunday night. I don't know if he's ever going to be the quarterback for Miami, but I do think it would be wise for maybe Miami, and I keep saying this, to go back to that Wildcat package we saw with him kind of in week zero against Florida, just because I think that he does have the ability to throw the ball well enough, and that makes the defense kind of game plan and keep them on their toes. So I'm interested to see if we kind of see that from Dan Enos on Saturday.
And speaking of Tate Martell, you know, whatever's going on with him, I don't really believe Tate will affect this team that much. And you brought up a point with the Wildcat package. I think that might be where he can help the offense. But as a receiver, you know, I wasn't impressed with his performance. But a guy I was impressed with is Jeff Thomas. Jeff Thomas has NFL talent, and he sure has NFL speed. Andrew, what's going on with him? Suspended for 2 games. He transferred somewhere and then transferred back in. Like, you're around the team more. What's up with Jeff Thomas?
I mean, this has been the story with Jeff Thomas since really, I mean, he emerged on that recruiting scene. I mean, he disappeared. There was a documentary that I think it was Sports Illustrated and LeBron did called like 89 Blocks. In his senior season, he kind of did the same thing. He just went MIA. I mean, he was gone and he came back. I mean, this has just kind of been the thing with Jeff. You got to get him focused. And I think Miami's excited for him to be back against Florida State. I just want to know how much they're going to play him. I mean, Manny preaches accountability. We don't really know the details of why he was suspended for 2 games or what happened. So is he a guy who they're going to put right into that rotation? I think you would hope so if you're Miami, just because this is a game where you're going to probably try to throw the ball a lot on Florida State. But we really don't know. I mean, that's kind of one of the storylines heading in. Is he going to take, you know, 20 snaps, or is he going to take 50 snaps? Because I think if Miami's, you know, wants to win, it's probably that 50-snap mark.
We're joined by Andrew Ivins from InsideTheU.com, 24/7 Sports. Love to hear your scouting report on Florida State and where they can most hurt Miami, because one thing that scares me a little bit in watching them this past week, they seem to be figuring out how to use Cam Akers, which is everywhere, all over the Wildcat, putting up big yardage. Do you see them improving in recent weeks, and where do they offer the biggest threats?
Well, you nailed it right on the head there with Cam Akers. I mean, Miami, they're going to have to stop Cam Akers. And the good news is Manny Diaz said today that Mike Pinckney should be back and should play Saturday. So it's going to be him and Shaq Quarterman in the middle of the defense. Miami's going to need to clean up the tackles. You know, against Georgia Tech, they, according to Pro Football Focus, where they missed 29 of them, I think Manny said, after that Pittsburgh game, they only missed 8 or something like that. So getting Mike back should help in that department. I mean, they got to stop the run. The one person I think you need to keep an eye on is the scary Terry, Tarian, or whatever they call him there in the slot. Miami has struggled pretty much throughout the season to kind of limit those slot receivers. So if Cam and him were to get going, I think that would kind of spell some bad news. But the good news for Miami is I believe Florida State's going to start a true freshman at left tackle. Miami's for the first time is actually going to go up against another Zion Nelson on the other side. So he hasn't faced any defensive front like Miami so far with a Greg Russo and a John Garvin. So if there's one area where I think Miami can kind of exploit and take advantage, it would be getting to the quarterback.
We're joined by Andrew Ivins, who also covers recruiting very closely. So in a general sense, and if you want to get into some specifics, please do, but how has recruiting verbal commits been affected by Miami's uneven play this year? Because I know that a lot of folks, myself included, had great expectations for the new Miami. I felt really good coming into this season, and they're a 4-4 team now. They've lost a couple of really bad games. How has that affected recruiting?
Not as much as you would think. You know, Miami did a real good job, and this is kind of becoming the trend in college football right now. You know, Florida State's done the same. Florida's doing the same. Is a lot of teams are trying to lock up their recruiting class in those June and July months, just because they know once you're in the season, the focus is on the season. And then you only got 2 or 3 weeks before that early signing period, which is new. So Miami did a good job of piecing that class together. And the good thing is most of these kids are pretty locked in despite that start. I mean, I know they're fielding calls. You could talk about John Cheney, the running back down there at Plain Jesuit. You know, Florida, Georgia, Alabama have all tried to make a run at him. But he seems to be pretty just locked in. And I think if Miami were to get a win this weekend, that would certainly help just kind of get that narrative going that things are headed in the right direction. Now, I'm not a big believer in kids pick schools based on one result on one Saturday. I think it's more of a big picture. So if Miami's able to go into Tallahassee, play another close game, come out with a win, now you turn around and you sit in the living rooms in December and you say, hey, we beat Florida State 3 years in a row. You know, we're going the right direction. We just need a little bit more help.
And, Andrew, I've heard of running back by committee. I've heard of wide receiver rotation, defensive line rotation. I've never heard of kicker by committee or kicker rotation, man. This is the first time I've ever seen this. What's going on with the kicker? Are you comfortable if the Canes have to kick a field goal against Florida State?
Wow, did a Florida alum just saying we?
Solana, mark the tape. Mark the tape. How comfortable are you if we talking about Miami? I love it. He's a full-blown Canes fan now.
If you listen to Manny Diaz's comments this weekend, he seems to be pretty confident in Camden Price. And Camden's a kid. He's a walk-on out of the Maryland area. I'd kind of written about him when Dax was going through his struggles, you know, after a few of his short misses. And I had some people in the kicking industry, Brandon Kornblue, kind of one of the industry leaders. He was telling me, hey, Camden Price is definitely, you know, I think better than Dax. So he might not have the leg, but he's accurate. I think Miami would have made that change and gone to him. But Camden's another guy who served a 2-game suspension for what we don't really know. But he came back, hit a short, I think it was, 29 yards against Pittsburgh, hit an extra point. I mean, I think what Manny's trying to do, I'm kind of reading the tea leaves, is he's trying to talk up Camden, get him some confidence going. But I got to kind of see it before I believe it. I do think the kicking's in a better department where it's been before, but until we see him make, you know, somewhat the game on the line, I'm still a little skeptical. And just so you know, Miami's not the only school that's used 3 kickers this season. Nebraska's used 3 as well. Huh. Yeah, they've used 3 as well, and one of them was like a backup safety. So,
I mean, the funny thing is, like 3 weeks ago, I didn't even know we had 3 kickers because I had never heard of Turner Davidson before he had them a kicking game. Like I had heard, because I think I may have even read your piece on Camden Price. So obviously, we all knew Bubba Baxa. I'd heard of Camden Price because he was the next guy. I had no idea that Turner Davidson existed until a few weeks ago. So do they have, if necessary, do they have a 4th kicker anywhere?
I don't know. I will say what's funny about the Turner Davidson thing. I was on the field pregame, and I was talking with someone, and they're like, hey, they're going to go with this Turner Davidson kid. And I'm like, I don't even feel comfortable reporting this because I don't even know who that kid's name is. So I sent out the tweet saying, hey, you know, hearing this guy might kick. And then, you know, I was nervous until he ran out there for the extra point. I'm like, wow, that's a win. I got that one right. So, yeah, I had no idea who he was either.
Hey, Evan McPherson at Florida, he's 80 for 80 on extra points, just
jeez,
so y'all know that.
What's
yeah.
that
two,
like?
Two seasons, 80 for 80. So that's how we do it.
You're trying to save face after dropping a weed when talking about Miami. I see what you're doing. Like, you're trying to inject Florida into the conversation when we all heard you refer to Miami
one bit,
as we.
2 bits.
Oh, my God. He's Andrew Ivins, does great work. He's a Miami insider for 24/7 Sports. You can check out his work at InsideTheU.com. Andrew, thank you so much, man.
Oh, thanks for having me on, guys.
And follow him on Twitter at Andrew_Ivins, IVINS. So good stuff there on the Canes. And, yeah, I'm glad you brought up the kickers. I'm kind of sorry you did because it brings back flashbacks of Bubba Baxa missing extra points. And
there's a kicking legacy, wide right, wide left, the Florida State game. Like,
yeah.
There's a long list of missed field goals with that what's that called? The series?
The series, yeah. Yeah, there's and it's, you know, Miami's had a couple. The missed extra point a while back. I mean, there have been plenty, but, you know, we tend to think of the wide right, 1, 2, 3, the wide left for Florida State. I can just say this. If it comes down to somebody needing a kick to tie the game late, I hope it's just for my own sanity. I hope it's Florida State and not Miami, because I'm not going to feel good whether it's Baxa, Camden Price, who probably would be the guy, or Turner Davidson. I'm not going to be feeling good about that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.